And we continue our series on voting today, and we turn our attention to the actual act of having your say at the ballot box.
If you care about gun control,
women's rights, civil rights,
rising gas prices,
Social Security,
the war, then you should vote.
Celebrities there encouraging people to get out and vote in a new online campaign called Declare Yourself. Well, there's really no one way to cast a ballot, and with so many voting methods have come controversies. Controversies about flawed ballots, about accessibility, and whether our votes even count. Well, joining me to dissect the country's voting systems is Benjamin Griffith. He's a member of the American Bar Association Standing Committee on Election Law and editor of the book, America Votes, A Modern Guide to Election Law and Voting Rights. Welcome to News and Notes.
Cheryl, thank you for having me on the program.
Absolutely. Well, Benjamin, in the first 3 months of this year, there were 3 million newly registered voters. And I'm from Chicago, so that's about the size of that city.
Right.
That was just the beginning. So there may be a number of people voting for the first time during this election, a number of people who may not have voted for a while. What can people expect once they arrive at a polling place?
Well, we've made tremendous strides since 2000 when we had the butterfly ballot problems in Florida that spilled over to Bush v. Gore. We've seen major federal funding, over $300 billion pumped into new voting machines, electronic technology, different types of machines and technology to replace the old lever machines and certainly the old paper ballot system. We're not perfect. I think what we've got is an election system that is essentially relegated to the state and local level. There's a good deal of federal guidance and federal design, but mostly we're dealing with a local election system. That's always been our problem in terms of lack of uniformity, and we'll continue to experience that in 2008.
So why do all these different systems exist then?
Well, it's I guess in a word, it's federalism. We're a nation that is not necessarily governed exclusively by the federal government. There are federal protections that are obviously related to voting and protection of voting rights, but states and local governments generally, from the beginning of our nation, have had the primary responsibility to carry out the process of voting and to guard the voting rights of individuals and to make sure the electoral process made sense. When we have a breakdown like we did in Florida, and it's under the international spotlight, as this one was, it's not just embarrassing, it is an absolute travesty. And when we had our federal, state, and local officials and experts pool their knowledge, we came up with a number of federal solutions, mm-hmm. and that has trickled down to training and education programs on the local level. We can address those later.
Mm-hmm. But you say lots of money has been spent on the new voting machines, voter registration databases. So why are we still seeing problems? Don't we test these machines and the systems for usability, make sure people can get through this process easily?
Well, let me give you a little nightmare. The Brennan Center for Justice just a few months ago published a report that pointed out some major design flaws in ballot layout, the text formatting, and voting instructions. In short, people, particularly elderly people, minorities, people who were voting for the first time were confused. They were not able to understand what they were voting for. Two or three common examples. Candidates were being listed for the same office on two or more pages or columns.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple elections on the same screen on an electronic touchscreen system. Response options on both sides of a candidate name. Instructions that were full of legal jargon. That's difficult for many lawyers to understand, let alone laypersons.
Mm-hmm.
What the Brennan Center came up with were very, very good suggestions, and I think these recommendations can be carried to the state and local level as well as the federal level. Let me summarize them very, very quickly.
Yeah.
We need a checklist of best practices, design best practices for ballot designers and voting systems. We need usability testing of ballots mm-hmm. before you come down to the final design and instructions. Make sure, use test groups, focus groups. Publicize sample ballots that look like the real thing. Make the necessary changes that will be based on testing and public samples, and require counties. The counties and precincts are generally where the rubber meets the road. This is where the election process takes place for most of us. We need reporting on overvotes, undervotes, spoiled ballots, and finally, review and amend the election laws where they prevent local governments from employing the most usable ballot designs.
So you're talking about a lot of help for the election process.
Money.
And money, yes. But not too long ago, 2002, the Help America Vote Act was passed. So what did that act do, and what kind of impact has it had?
Well, HAVA did a lot of things and a lot of good things, and I don't want this to sound negative overall because it was positive. We have a lot of positive changes that you're going to see in this election that flow out of HAVA.
Mm-hmm.
The Help America Vote Act wasn't just simply replacing butterfly ballots with electronic voting. It has led to a resurgence and an increased use of Election Day registration. You register to vote the day you go to vote. It's done in Europe. It's done in other countries throughout the world. Early voting, not just early voting in case you're on a business trip or have a business conflict, but early voting if you want to vote and get it out of the way. The statewide voter registry systems, uniform assistance coming from a federal agency now called the Election Assistance Administration, and then disability access. That continues to be a problem, but what we're talking about is something that will reach out and help the marginalized, help them to exercise their right to vote without impediment.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering how this process, we have a lot of folks overseas these days, and so how does this process differ for Americans who are overseas or in the armed forces?
Well, you'll recall as a lot of the nail-biting took place in 2000 and 2004,
yeah,
about late ballots coming in from overseas. That process has been ramped up, streamlined, designed with a more narrowly tailored and a more accurate methodology. I think it's going to work better. I think we've got more communication top-down, and that's the big issue. Is there a knowledge and an awareness of deadlines? What can be done to promote awareness among our armed forces? These men and women are in harm's way. They're basically standing in the door and guarding us while we're back home. We need to do everything possible to open the doors to electoral access as widely as possible for them. That's being done. It's not perfect, but you're going to see major improvements compared to the last two electoral cycles.
Yeah, well, let me ask you real quickly. Let's say somebody's registered, they arrive at the polling station, they have their ID, their paperwork's in order, a poll worker says they can't vote.
Yeah.
What happens then?
Well, if you run into voter intimidation or a person basically being told you're in the wrong place, go somewhere else, which, you know, when you're paying $4.50 a gallon for gas, that's a big issue sometimes. It's an issue for a lot of us. There have to be methods, and there have to be ways to actually step in and provide voter protection. Two things are going on right now. The American Bar Association has a tremendous information-filled website with the ABA, and it deals with the American Bar Association President Tommy Wells' theme that I think he's underlying. He wants to encourage all citizens to exercise their right to vote, and he's given a call to action for lawyers everywhere to get involved in the election.
All right. Well, I'll have to stop you right there, sir. We'll have folks check out that website. That
was great.
Thank you. Benjamin Griffith, a member of the American Bar Association Standing Committee on Election Law.